So I have organized this reading, tried to, around Orpheus. I don't know how many of you saw the opera. I'm not going to get into that complex but very beautiful opera, which I did see with Joan and Don. And I did mention to them that I had written a poem some time ago about a movie that I co-taught, if there is such a word. And the movie was Cocteau's Orphée. Actually, was Blood of a Poet. Cocteau did three films about Orpheus, and some of them quite surrealistic. And I'm going to read the poem. So you'll recognize that all these poems, I didn't realize that so many of them mention Orpheus, whose business it was, it's claimed by artists and singers and poets, to rescue his beloved from the dead. He almost did it. He was irresistible. Even the monsters ignored him as he passed by, but he could not resist looking back, which he was forbidden to do, as you all know, and she was lost forever. So this first poem is not that poem that I just introduced. It'll come next. And I will not talk. I will try not to talk, but to read. Okay. So this poem is what it's called. It's called What Takes Up Residence. And it was a poem written after I came home from Assisi and learned about Pat Dobler's death. Some of you, of course, know her work and know her being. Okay, so what takes up residence? There is no fine attic in my house, no stones, no belfry, no cobwebbed ceiling, but an old soul must be locked into wood for this faint breathing tonight near my pillow. I don't know about night creatures and fruit bats, except they are better than blood-sucking stories. And one dropped near my face one August night with wings whirring like the small beating of a person's heart. So close. I ask, what are you? I, home from Assisi with its resident saint of animals. What is not afraid to be found in my house? What is not afraid to be found in my house? And I want to know how big my intruder is. Do bats get lost? I hear they are well cared for by their mothers. And although I long to know more about the habits of bats, I know enough to open the bedroom door and to free whatever presence is there if it wishes to go. The next day brings news of your death. And I remember the last time we sat together. I tell stories about the wild grieving of Orpheus. Your voice is strong like poetry, like vision, like a small bat. And you say, come see me soon. Soon. The magic trick, and this is for that film. I finally understand Cocteau running his films backwards, finding gold and Eurydice boring. I am his new magician, and Eurydice, you need too much help being roused from the dead. I'll make your hell a hill of feathers, on which we all fall. At the bottom will be Orpheus's mother, weeping, smothering, making rooster noises. We never hear about her, and where are you he has come to rescue? I finally understand Cocteau, how he comes to himself in dreams, summoning all angels by a display of sleeping, offering us that cup, that tyranny of angels. I'll redirect your show on a cork stage. We'll float out to sea, you on one leg. Now Eurydice is walking. Now Eurydice is walking too fast. Now Eurydice is walking too fast and not listening. I see you cannot stand to be alone. Remember, you must learn to stroll. I, as magician, will make of you what you will become. what you will become. A rag doll whose eyes and mouth will be pronounced shut. You have condemned yourself to sitting. Now, Orpheus, we'll risk the bizarre. I'll put you in a cage that swings from a ceiling. Blue rosettes and white wicker. The master will make it. It will take years of carving. Those who love you will love what you're in to. And now this work becomes romance, romance between a bird and a rag doll. I finally understand, Cocteau. To tell all is the mark of a fool. To tell all is the mark of a fool as useless as rescuing a wife or following a husband. They go in and out of hell on their own. But to become a father and choose a son as you did before you died on the Chalk Mountain, now that's the stuff that myths are made of. That's dancing the orange. That's dancing the orange, that's celebrating the coal miner, motherless and blue with singing. Okay. Thank you. I'm quoting a Chinese proverb now. The beginning of wisdom is to call all things by their rightful names. The gods are knocking on our doors. Everybody's name in this poem is true. Imagine a man named Sanctus. Imagine a man named Sanctus touching your body in its hurt. He is a holy man wakening the dead. He is Orpheus finding trigger points. You were sent to him by Mr. Birdsong. Imagine a man named Ben Guard stretching your toes and teaching you to stand with extra bone under your feet, designing bone casts so you don't fall. He's showing you his own withered leg. He is deadless, keeping you from the sea. Imagine not being silly anymore. Imagine not being silly anymore, not fearing Athena, not saving masterpieces, one textbooks, and every stray pot given to you by clay dabblers. You too fix the broken wings of birds, even if they're meant to die anyhow. Let's name the race for your Zeus ecstasy. Let's name the race for your Zeus ecstasy. Let's call it Los Bibolo. That funny phrase Fellini called his wife Giulietta in Italian, that means a kind of world tenderness. World tenderness, someone's tenderness towards small things. Well, you don't have to go to hell to make a discovery. To live with presence, and this was a poem that was written as part of one of the most wonderful things I think that happened in Pittsburgh, which was a collaboration between poets, sculptors, and painters. And it didn't start with the poets, it started with the sculptors. The poets were asked to live, choose a piece of sculpture and live with it. So just read a part of this. To live with presence. I've tried speaking to the God on my table. You try speaking to the God on your table, but only half his head turns towards me. Sometimes I carry him from room to room. He's still looking over my arm at some sea. He's still looking over my arm at some sea. How to set him bodiless down? How to set him bodiless down is the question, so he doesn't melt or chip, yet sits in light that comes through the glass of the table. I don't know what I know, but I know him. Maybe then he will speak to all, but now I still bend to the he, if he is the he, too full of wonder to give a name to this face full of waking and fading on brick and glass. All his life, he has been a nub of love, reluctant to be pushed across the sea, language with no words at the center, and every day I ask him to talk to me. Yes, he is you, and it straightens me, your head leaning, prevailing, pure, boiling, boiling a great self out of the ether. In Donatelli's 16th century print, which if you want to see it, just come up and ask me, it's fallen apart. Orpheus, in this 1530 print, Orpheus in space lures animals. Orpheus in space lures animals, the lugubrious ram, dogs in weeds, the beady-eyed dragonflies in hell, the condors sit back in the trees. There's no steady ground for the fallow deer or that scorpion headed in the other direction. There is no Eurydice at all for this printmaker with his hint of the world to come. And yes, no sidewalk, but his hell has a ring and an edge to it. Go ahead, Orpheus, and sing about now. You have but a moment, maybe 15 minutes. Maybe the famous 15 minutes, the rocks are turning, the gods are listening, but he chooses not to put him in. That guy who conjured you, that 16th century guy. Look, he's thinking about something. He's probably cool. Okay. And that's the final piece, and not really Orpheus, but maybe everything is Orpheus. The Truth of Things, a very recent piece. And maybe throwing away things, you don't know where they go, heaven or hell. The Truth of Things, I cannot throw away old maps. The ones you made with named territories. Naming is magic. Mercy Lake and Deaf Road and Braggart Hill outlined in blue. I cannot throw away our Aunt Claire's picture with her in an Adirondack chair in Peekskill, cigarette peeking out of a hand, hair tied in back. I cannot throw away that Haniwa terracotta doll a student told me in Tokyo was once buried with the child who played with it 800 years ago. I cannot throw away a crate of keys in a cupboard behind a demitasse cup that has a faint gilt, G-I-L-T line painted around Achilles offering balm to Patroclus. I cannot throw away the Dalton egg cup, which is all we have of a child's first eating set, and the dresses my sister made with paisley borders and large pockets. I cannot throw away a pipe cleaner dragonfly with its pen cartridge body my father dangled from a lamp he tried to paint green. And I cannot throw away portraits of gorillas and snow monkeys, tender with their young, looking so forlorn, and painted Greek icons Chris made with eyes staring. What Edward R. Murrow said makes me think of it all. Most truths are so naked that people feel sorry for them and must cover them up at least a little bit. So, I cannot put them in a box yet, but on a table in layers, the closest to my heart, under blue flannel, the truth of things, to speak, but not ever having to talk. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Yes, and now it's my extreme pleasure to introduce Arlene on her new legs. And we are so grateful for the presence of everybody. And she helps us very much in keeping us alive in our website and in many other ways. Thank you, Arlene.